B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5, the fanatic and anguished Mike Missanelli here for broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. We're on 97.5, the fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. It's disheartening to have to talk about a game like last night and the way we're going to talk about it today, because it's all going to be venomous. I can't help that. I am not sticking up for anybody today, because I saw the same thing you saw last night. A game that, to me, was a statement game that you had to put a little more coaching and a little more energy into winning. It was that important of a game. There's no reason you should have a 10-man rotation in a game like that. Boston didn't. They knew how important the game was. And because of a lot of coaching miscues and miscalculations, it's deja vu all over again. New team, same result. Celtics have the Sixers number. Why? Well, I don't know. We'll try to explore the reasons today. But let's go with Exhibit A, B, and C. Exhibit A, Joel Embiid. Exhibit B, Ben Simmons. And Exhibit C, J.J. Redick. All three of them managed to be shackled again by whatever Boston does defensively to beat them. Same defense. They wall off the point guard. They pay attention to the handoff screens and J.J. Redick. And for some reason, Al Horford has his way every single game against a man who's 55 pounds more powerful than he is. I don't know how it can happen. I don't know what they were doing offensively. I don't know why he would take 8 3-point shots. I don't understand why sometimes where you can probably get a guy in the foul trouble if you work hard enough to get Joel Embiid low and center the offense and go inside out instead of outside in every now and then and see what you can do with that to get Horford out of the game a little early, get some quick fouls on him, but there's some reason they don't do it. And one of the reasons why they don't do it, their strategy is they want to have Ben Simmons free to beat people and get to the basket without a 7-footer clog in the lane. He doesn't get to the basket against this team. They wall him off. He stops. It's like the cartoons where you see, you know, remember how the coyote used to screech and the dirt would go. And dirt, that's what he does. Well, he's got a head of steam. All of a sudden, he sees the wall. He stops. I don't understand. I mean, there's certain things I don't understand about the way they coach against this team. And blaming Brett Brown is low-hanging fruit. And today, the low-hanging fruit wins. I'm sorry. It just wins. I don't understand some of the rotations. I don't understand the minutes that T.J. McConnell gets, who got buried in mismatches, and J.J. Wright got buried. They went right to the mismatch and torched those guys. Hayward shot three shots over Korkmaz, a three-point shot early in the game when Korkmaz is in the game. I don't understand some of the things that go on. Let's just retrace a couple of steps. The score is tied 94. They fight like hell. They get the score tied at 94. Get the crowd back in. Get a little momentum. I had to say about 5 minutes ago. So what happens? They allow Tatum at the top to shoot a three, which he makes. Simmons then turns the ball over on a traveling call. It probably wasn't a traveling call, but again, it was like an overzealous, unplanned offense. So he gets the call. And then Rozier hits the left corner three to put him back up six, take him out of harm's way. Now you're thinking, okay, there comes another loss. They fight back again. Embiid's three-point play on a layup gives them a lead with 2:11 left, 103-102. What happens? Defensive lapses. Jimmy Butler gets caught inside on some motion, and Hayward is alone in the right corner to bury a three. And then the next possession, when you need calm, you're down 105-103. There's plenty of time left. You need calm. Tobias Harris launches a three-pointer 10 seconds into the shot clock. I don't know what's going on out there. I don't know. I mean, you got to coach those last couple of minutes. And they obviously did not coach those last couple of minutes. So here we are again in the same quandary. Now, I know the announcers were last night. By the way, can we please, please get rid of this players only thing? It's like nobody's allowed into their club. Enough of this now. It's a terrible broadcast. But anyway, they were talking about the possibility of Boston meeting Philadelphia in the first round. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. Fortunately for the Sixers, they're going to win a lot of games towards the end here, and they're not going to be in a 4-5 situation with Boston. And what the most likely scenario is, they probably won't play them in the second round either, because if you extrapolate it out, it looks like the Celtics would have to play the Bucks in the second round. So they may escape Boston, which is the only thing we have to hope for, because they can't beat them. It's uncanny. Kyrie Irving not there. The Celtics play better with him without him anyway against the Sixers. So maybe Kyrie being there would be an advantage if they have to play him in the playoffs later on in the season, because at least he doesn't defend anybody, and maybe Ben Simmons can get to the basket. But not last night. And the same suspects, Tatum buried him, Horford buried him, Jaylen Brown buried him, off the bench, Hayward gets Horford buries him. I'm disgusted. I thought last night was going to be a showcase game for the Sixers, and they proved they still can't handle them. And the longer this goes on, the more that's going to rear its head, that they're never going to be able to beat this team. Now, Tyrone, you watched the same game that I watched. Your thoughts?
Well, last season, I remember when they played them, and early in the series, you said the Sixers don't have enough. And a lot of fans were on Brett Brown mm-hmm. last season. Mm-hmm. And you were saying the Sixers don't have enough.
They have enough. They weren't as good.
Right.
Weren't as athletic.
Right. You fast forward. The Sixers have upgraded in mm-hmm. a big way talent-wise. In fact, I think the biggest reason the game was still close was because the overall talent level of the roster. Mm-hmm. Brett Brown wasn't different last night.
Nope.
He was exactly the same. So I think part of the reason why guys get open shots is because their defensive setup, and he hasn't adjusted that at all. On offense, he hasn't made any changes. I didn't see any extra pick and rolls with Jimmy Butler. I didn't see anything different with, how about a pick and roll with Embiid and Jimmy Butler? So Embiid is now a threat higher up or lower down because he's going towards the basket. Nothing was different from the coach. So when the players change and the coach doesn't, and the result remains the same, I personally have to look at the coach. And I don't, and that's not to say, I want to make it very clear. Mm-hmm. That's not for me to say Embiid played well, other than the fourth quarter. It's not for me to say that Ben Simmons played well, or J.J. Redick played well, or anyone played well. What I'm saying is the cast has changed. And the result and the way it looked was exactly the same. So then I have to question the constant. And now I feel uncomfortable doing that after three games with the new unit, but I'm forced to ask that question because of what happened last night.
Now, he got outcoached again by Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens outcoached him again. And comes a point in time now where you got to look in the mirror and you got to figure out to do something different. Because when you had TJ McConnell and JJ Redick in the game at the same time, Boston is smart enough to attack mismatches. And that's exactly what they did last night. They attacked mismatches. There's no way TJ McConnell can contend with any of their players. So you're giving up baskets that way. There's no way Korkmaz can contend with any of their players. He shouldn't play. He shouldn't play in a game like that last night. I know I bash Korkmaz, but come on, let's be real. This is a good team now. This isn't a team that you beat along the way with just talent alone, which is what they did the first two nights when they had this new alignment. This is a good team. Now you got to make a statement with this team. Now you maybe have to shorten your bench in a game like this just to win the game, to get your team acclimated to beating Boston. You can't play it like another regular season game. This is a very important game last night. All right. So we'll talk about it. Obviously, a lot of people, I mean, my emails are crazy with Fire Brett Brown, and I'll read a couple of them, and people are just fired up about the coach and how they did not win that game last night. But, you know, you can go over a lot of nuances of that game and say, well, how can that possibly happen? Well, every time the Sixers got close to Boston, Boston was better than them in every possession. It was like they were there before. It doesn't matter if the game was at the first at the Wells Fargo Center. They had every answer to what the Sixers were doing last night. All right. It is General Knowledge Wednesday, too, by the way. So at least we'll make one someone happy. Pair of tickets. Oh, you got a little all concert here? What? This is a concert I would go to.
And Cage the Elephant's my favorite modern
really?
Rock band. Yeah.
Beck with Cage the Elephant and Spoon. My faves.
That's right up your alley.
Right up my alley. August 21st, the BB&T Pavilion. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. At that, Beck, Cage the Elephant, and Spoon. That is the grand prize. So you answer a question correctly, you will qualify for that grand prize. The topics today, general knowledge, answers are TV titles. Let's see, what was the third one? Alliteration by the letter T.
Ooh.
And NBA multiple choice. In other words, the question could be, which team can't the Sixers beat? Is it A, the Delaware Bluecoats, B, Duke, C, Drexel, or D, Celtics?
And the answer would be D, Celtics.
D, the Celtics would be the correct answer. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Mike Mussinelli Show. I'm just going to turn you loose today. Let's get your reaction after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
All right, 2 o'clock of the Mike Mussinelli Show is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Miss Natalie is back. Nat!
Hello.
What's happening?
I'm here.
How you feeling, Nat?
Working on it.
You're working on it?
Yeah.
It's a little...
Yeah. You know, accidents are scary.
Yeah,
and,
they are. So you were in a taxi cab?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, you know...
They kind of got jostled.
Oh, yeah, I'd say. But I'm here, and, you know, I'm thankful that it wasn't worse, and, you know, that I could return, and... I thank you to all the listeners who tweeted me and emailed me and sent me well wishes. You know, that was really kind and boosted my spirits. But I'm just happy to be back.
And we're glad you're back.
Thank you.
All right. The Twitter poll for today is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. From snowblowers to generators and small engines, every part for every machine in stock. When you need it, Moyer will keep you going this winter.
Alrighty, so over 1,000 votes on this early. Will Brett Brown be the Sixers head coach next year? 66% say yes, 34% say no.
66. Surprising. After an emotional game like last night, I figured it would be less than 50.
So did I.
66, holding fast. Now, listen, I can't tell you how many emails and tweets I've gotten. Fire him now! Trade him now, Ben Simmons. Trade him now, Brett Brown. Fire him now. None of that's going to happen. So let's not rack our brain about Brett getting fired. That's not going to happen. Ben's not getting traded. You got to figure out a way that this thing will work. Now, against good teams in the East, they have not fared very well. This is a new team, a new venture. So basically, they're 0-1 against a good team. That's the way I look at it. 0-1's not bad. So we'll see if they can negotiate the rest of the East. And if they do, who cares about Boston? Because they probably won't play him anyway. All right. And if they play him, they'll play him with a weak link like Kyrie Irving. I'm calling him a weak link.
Right, what's weird is, real fast, Mike, they have beaten the 1 and 2 seed in the West. They just beat Denver, who's the 2 seed, and they beat Golden State before the trade, which is the 1 seed. So it's weird that they can't beat the East seed because they beat the top of the West.
Yeah, again, this is a new team. Tobias Harris looked out of sorts last night. He looked every bit like Rocco last night. He did. He was like Rocco-esque. So I don't know what was going on with him. He fell out of sorts, wasn't getting to spots that he usually gets to, was kind of deferring to a lot of other people, took some ill-advised three-point shots. He was 0 for 6 from 3. You're never going to see that with him. All right, let's get to the phones. Thomas and Broomall, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
Good. I'm glad Natalie's back. About the Sixers game last night, I mean, it was disappointing. You know, it was a sloppy first quarter. You know, we really need to capitalize on what the Celtics didn't have, which was their starting point guard. I just want to kind of figure out, you know, were we just out of our game, or was it, you know, there's still new people, they still have to kind of get in rhythm, or what do you take?
No, they played them the same way. They took the three main guys out of their games. They took Ben Simmons out of his game, they took Embiid out of his game, they took J.J. Redick out of his game. J.J. Redick struggled to get free to shoot anything last night. He made some amazing shots to his right last night, which were really not clear looks. So they just figure out a way to find out where he is coming off screens, and they block him.
I mean, and, you know, both teams kept it close. I mean, it wasn't a total blowout, but, you know, the Celtics were hungrier. I mean, you know, they lost against the Lakers. They lost, they were up by 28 points against, the Clippers, and they lost that game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this wasn't a runaway. This wasn't an easy game, and, you know, I just didn't think that the Sixers brought 100%.
I agree. Their intensity, what they could even match Boston intensity. No question about it.
You have general knowledge.
General knowledge question. First, brother. Come on, man. You know better than that. Thomas needs a suspension for that.
You know what?
That should know better.
Thomas,
a regular caller.
That's 10 days.
10 day suspension.
10 days.
Yes. You got to bang a guy or they'll do it again. 10 day
suspension for Thomas.
10 days.
Off of that curse word.
Mm-hmm.
Brian in Delaware. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Mike, what's up?
What's going on, Bri?
So you got to pump the brakes when it comes to us playing Golden State the next 3 years for the title?
Well, Golden State's going to frag, man, after the next year.
What's that?
Golden State's going to frag, man. The Sixers are going to be a good team. Listen, they lost to Boston last night. Doesn't mean they're not going to be a good team from this point on.
All right, we're 1-7 against Milwaukee, Toronto, and Boston.
Yeah, this is a different team. Those numbers mean nothing. This is a different team. As Brett Brown said last night, they've been together for 30 seconds. You can't count them when they're 1-7. It's a different team.
I mean, did that game not look eerily similar to the playoff?
Yeah, it did, but it should.
Eerily similar. They were outplayed in every regard.
Here's the thing.
Every single aspect.
It did exactly look like last year. But since we know this is a different team and they have more weapons, that means they have the ability to change it up. Last year they did not. That's all they had. This year they got more. It's now a matter of tweaking on how you beat this team.
Okay, what do you think our brainiac of a coach is going to attribute to that?
I don't know what the brainiac of a coach is attributing to that, too. I don't know what he said last night to explain why he's got Embiid up there taking 8 threes instead of his usual 5 or 6.
How about him admitting to sleepwalking for the first 3 quarters instead of acting Brett Brown? Mm-hmm. And trading Ben Simmons.
Horford has that kind of effect on him. I don't know what it is. He's distasteful playing against Horford. And he's got to get over it.
He shot as many three-pointers as Redick did last night.
Horford's 100 years old. He should be able to shack him.
Yeah, exactly. Not to mention he outsizes him, he outweighs him. I just don't
That's what
it.
I mean. He should be able to shack him through a game.
And we're at a distinct disadvantage every game that's close. Late, because we're basically playing 3.5-on-5. Like, Reddy can't guard a bank on defense.
And TJ's in the game at the same time.
So it's like any close game in the playoffs, they play defense in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
How do we solve that?
You may have to decide to have Redick out of the game in certain areas when you really need a defensive stop. Now, I tried to do that late last night, offensive substitutions, but there's got to be help defense for Redick at all times. They don't do nearly enough help defense for J.J. Redick. They let him get cooked a lot.
Yeah, and then...
Now you're letting a spot of the floor open when you do that, obviously, and Boston's smart enough to figure that out, but you just can't let him get just buried by Tatum or by Jaylen Brown or whoever is going to go at him.
Remember the top of the key threes that Horford made? Mm-hmm. Two of those were off of Embiid helping when Reddick got blown by.
Yep.
And then the secondary rotation didn't rotate over to Horford, mm-hmm. and Horford was wide open outside and banged them both.
Now in a game, and we're coming down to the nitty gritty. Now you have another 3-point shooter on the floor, and you have Jimmy Butler, and you have Tobias Harris on the floor. It is possible you can get away without having J.J. Redick on the floor and go on defense. And maybe that's something he should try. Matt Scranton, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Matt.
Hold on, Mike.
What's up, Matt?
I'm all right. Mike, what about, can we just touch briefly on all the pathetic free throw shooting last night as well?
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I heard you say in the beginning, you know, Embiid, with all the 3-point attempts, you hit it right on the head. Horford suppresses him so well underneath, he's forcing Joel to go beyond the arc to shoot the threes. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, same thing with Toronto. Ibaka does the same thing. He forces Joel to go all the way out and take threes because Joel is getting frustrated underneath.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I agree. Now you started off with the free throws. You know what you're going to get from Ben Simmons. He's going to shoot 50 or below, and last night was 50 or below. Jimmy Butler surprised me by missing three last night.
Right.
That usually does not happen.
No.
So that was the key. Simmons missed five. Jimmy Butler missed three. That's 8 missed free throws. Can't have that.
Right, and there's 8 points. So we technically, theoretically, we would win the game. But still didn't give a solid performance.
Yeah, I saw the same thing you did, bro. I did. He had 24 minutes worth of Furkan Korkmaz and TJ McConnell on the floor, and if you add 11 more for Boban, can't play against the Celtics. Boban is not a guy you should play against the Celtics. I can't believe I'm saying this. Maybe it would have been better off with Bolden for a few minutes
or Ennis. Why would you bench Ennis?
Yeah, there's no reason to bench Ennis for Korkmaz.
No. Korkmaz didn't even have played. Anderson played.
Yeah, Korkmaz was a -8 in 11 minutes. Why he puts him in the first quarter, it drives me crazy. I talk about it on Twitter all the time. I have no idea. I don't know what he is thinking playing Korkmaz when he knows that guy is not going to be a playoff player.
Correct.
All right, man. You want a general knowledge question?
Sure.
All right, these are... we're still in general knowledge because the last guy cursed. What is the former English name of Beijing?
Shanghai.
Incorrect. It's named after it's a Chinese food dish. Peking duck.
Really?
Peking.
Oh.
Is the city. Peking.
I thought you meant...
No, the city's not called Peking duck. It's Peking.
Okay.
Oh.
Peking.
It would have been pretty cool.
If it was Peking duck.
Yeah.
I live in Peking duck.
Right. Yeah. No, it's not Doc. John and Pensauken. John, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. John.
Mike, what's up, buddy?
What's up, John?
Ty, Natalie, I'm glad you're good. First, I wanted to make a Sixers point. We all saw the same game. Boston did exactly the same thing they did in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
Brett's going to have to figure out something to change. I mean, Harris had an off game. He's not going to play like that too much.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
I'd like to actually make a Flyers point, if you didn't mind.
Flyers did a big win last night over the Wild.
Really? They really played good last night.
They did. Got behind 3-1 and came storming at them.
And my point was, they lost that game to Pittsburgh, but if you watch that game, they took a goal from them. So literally took a goal off them. And the Flyers had, 51 shots on goal? They just couldn't finish. I mean, they're playing pretty well. I think getting rid of Hextall was a godsend.
Here's the important thing. Are they making playoffs?
Not this year.
All right, then what are we talking about?
We're talking about...
What's the convo here?
For the future?
For the future. Oh, all right. Yeah, I hope they're good for the future. I hope it works out.
Well, this year don't look like they're going to make the playoffs.
No, and that's the only thing I care about. So excuse me if I don't really get carried away with that Wild victory.
Losing to Pittsburgh pretty much did that one in.
Yes, it did. All right, brother, you want to play general knowledge?
Sure, buddy.
All right, alliteration
by the letter T. So obviously,
alliteration by the letter.
I like to have two words that start with T together. All right, so if I go toddler's fit of rage, what would that be?
Toddler's fit of rage. Double T. Toddler. I don't know much.
Oh, sorry. Temper tantrum. Dave in Audubon. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Mike and Miss, how you doing?
What's going on, Dave?
I'd like to start off by saying, Natalie, it's glad to see you happy and healthy back in the booth. I was actually at the Sixers game last night, and man, that was brutal. I don't even know where to start. First of all, Embiid, he's got no business shooting. What was it, eight three-pointers?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him making maybe one, if not two.
Two.
He did make two?
Yeah.
And now, I know they were out without Kyrie, and I know that's going to be like a selling point on why it's such a destructive loss, but they're a pretty well-constructed team without their quote-unquote main cog. I mean, really, they...
Well, they against the Sixers, they
had. Yeah, I know. They had so many uncontested shots, though. It just seemed like it came so easy for them.
Yep.
And I wanted to ask you, the other thing I wanted to comment on is, obviously, there were some free throws missed, which is to be expected with certain players as opposed to others. But I'm not being condescending in saying this. How would you have, like, because our quote-unquote big four weren't really making that big of an effect, how would you have rotated differently?
Your Butler played well last night. So I didn't worry about Butler. What would I have done differently? I would have gotten Joel Embiid down lower, not worried about Simmons' game as much
exactly.
as Embiid's game.
Yeah, I just kept saying the same thing. Like, get down on him. He's 7 foot tall.
You have to Shaq Horford at this point. You know, and enough. Your offense has to go inside out when Horford is playing down there because he can't handle him down low. When
this is the same Horford that won a national title with Florida back in.
Yeah, he's 100 years old. He is, and he's still out playing Embiid. It shouldn't happen.
Yeah, no, it should not happen.
And Marcus Morris should be scoring 17 points. Marcus Morris has open shots all game.
He did, yeah, correct.
All right, man. You want a general knowledge question?
Sure.
NBA basketball multiple choice quiz.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Why are the Los Angeles Lakers called the Lakers? Is it A, no one knows? B, they originally came from Minnesota, a lake state. C, their founder was named Lake. D, their first arena was on a lake.
I'm going to go with C on a shot in the dark.
The founder was named Lake?
Yeah.
That's incorrect. They originally were the Minneapolis Lakers. Because Minnesota, as we know, is not only freezing during Super Bowl time, but it is the land of 10,000 lakes. 10,000 lakes in Minnesota.
Yeah.
All frozen.
Yep. And then in the summer, there are 25 million mosquitoes, apparently.
There you go.
From all the lakes.
That's correct.
They should have changed the name, just like the Jazz should have changed it when they moved from New Orleans to Utah. Utah Jazz makes no sense.
No.
And Lakers in L.A. doesn't make sense. Yeah. Now we're used to it.
But
they should have changed the name.
Is good. Los Angeles Lakers sounds good.
Yeah, okay. But Utah Jazz should have changed.
Well, what would they have changed it to?
Oh, well, now it's history. But back then, to something Utah specific. But you move to Utah, you stay the Jazz. There's no Jazz in that state.
Well, what's in Utah anyway?
Well, they got mountains.
Ski slopes and mountains.
Yeah, you do something like that with the name. Doesn't make sense.
Chuck Hamilton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chick.
Hey, Mike, what's happening?
What's up,
man?
Chick?
I got to address this subject, and you touched on it when you opened up. More annoying than the game last night is this stupid NBA players only. Oh, my God. Greg Anthony, first of all, you didn't hear Greg Anthony once the crowd got stoked. You didn't hear him at all.
No, I don't understand. Like, why appease the players and accentuate the gap between the players and the regular people even more than it is now? It's like, okay, you can't be a member of our club. This just belongs to players. I don't get it.
I know. And, you know, I figured, well, let me go to radio, listen to Tom McGinnis, but they're like a second or two off.
Yeah, the delay.
Off. Mm-hmm. So, that all said, when the game's done, I said, well, let me calm down a little bit. I'll watch Golden State. Isaiah Thomas
terrible.
Is calling the game.
Terrible.
And now his voice is even
he's
mellower
terrible.
Than
now,
Greg.
Now, this Sixer game went down, had pretty exciting moments down the stretch. Tie score, Embiid makes a follow shot, and he gets fouled, and he puts him in the lead. And you want to hear an announcer go, foul, scores!
Right,
Sixers
right.
up one! These players are going, you got an offensive rebound there. It's all nonsense. And then McHale gets caught saying DH.
No.
You hear him say that?
These guys really should go to broadcasting school because they're making a mockery.
No, they don't have to go to broadcasting school. They're players. So players only.
The game only
belongs to the players. Didn't you know that?
I know.
All right, brother. You want a general knowledge question?
Let's go.
General knowledge category. What usually has three leaves, but in 1 in 5,000 cases has four or more?
That's a shamrock.
That's incorrect.
Four-leaf clover.
It's clover, brother. Clover. it was an exciting finish, and an announcer should have reflected an exciting finish last night, and it wasn't.
That was very ho-hum.
Very
ho-hum. If he got put back.
Now, the DH comment.
Yeah.
Everybody heard it. Everybody tweeted it out. And then they finally, because it was so much reaction on social media, about a quarter and a half later, he had to address it.
Yeah.
And he said, we're coming back on the air. JJ and I were talking about something we didn't like, and we used the word DH.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
And here's
can't
the...
can't be doing that.
Yes. And what made it worse is on the monitor, which he's clearly not looking at, they're showing Jimmy Butler talk to the coach. So now people are assuming, everybody knows Jimmy Butler's a bad guy.
Yep.
He wasn't even looking at the monitor.
They had the camera on Mike Scott who had a growl on him.
Yeah,
like somebody called him a DH.
Right. Like,
right.
They were clearly having a private conversation that just went.
Yes.
Awry.
It was ridiculous. All right, so I got to ask you this question because I'm tired of complaining about it. I don't understand it. Why does his first substitution include Korkmaz now that he has added Ennis and he's added Simmons? Can you explain this to me?
No. It doesn't make... I don't understand. Okay, they didn't pick up his option. They know that Korkmaz has no future on this team and possibly not one in this league. The GM goes and gets you Ennis, who is also, for the record, a better shooter than Korkmaz. Same amount of three-point attempts per game. He shoots a higher percentage than Korkmaz. In every single way possible, Ennis is a better basketball player, including shooting, which is supposed to be Korkmaz's strength, but it's actually not. He stinks at shooting. He shoots below NBA average, and Ennis is actually above NBA average. It doesn't make sense to sit Ennis and you say, it doesn't make that big of a difference. In a three-point game, it does, because if that -8 is only -4, you win that game by one. That could be one steal, stop.
I just don't understand what his rationale is for doing it. It's perplexing to me.
Now, what he says is he's experimenting. He's going to go with 10, and it's a tournament between Ennis, Simmons, Korkmaz, and kind of also because you can play Tobias at the three, Bolden's in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's claiming. So I guess last night, using analytics, it was Korkmaz's chance. Tonight against the Knicks, since it's a back-to-back, it'll be Ennis's chance. Then after the break, it'll be somebody else's chance. And he'll experiment, realizing he can lose because he'll find the right combination. But I think he already knows.
Well, how could you not know? I mean, my God, you just acquired a couple guys that are better than this guy you put in the game. What are you thinking? What are your eyes telling you? I can tell you what my eyes are telling me. I know I'm not an NBA coach. But my God, my eyes have been telling me this about this kid since it started, the first dribble. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show. I'll read some emails, angry emails, on the other side right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.247, Mike Missanelli Show, first hour of kind of a frustrated fan base, I will call them. Not exactly angry, but frustrated. Let me read this email from John. This came in this morning, Tyrone. 7:41 a.m. First thing on my man's mind, before the teeth get brushed. Number one, Brett Brown is not a big game coach. Terrible, terrible rotations. Stop playing Herman Munster when he can't guard anyone. That's not the NBA in 2019. That's a shot at Bobby. Go smaller and play an athlete like Bolden instead. Leave Korkmaz on the bench for games like this. He can't guard anyone. He can't even get a shot off. Stop taking two of your four scorers off the court at the same time. This is not the NHL line change. Two, Joel Embiid. Horford does to him what Strahan used to do to Runyon. It's embarrassing how badly he is outplayed against Boston. 8 3-point shots from Embiid is pathetic. Please stop with the MVP chance when he is constantly owned by Horford. Embiid needs to do less self-promotion and more game study. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I kind of agree with half of it. Like, the coach thing, I can't argue with much of it, but I'm not going to say he's not a big game coach based on one game. And as far as Embiid, he played bad against Horford. He plays bad against Horford. Players have guys like that. Even Shaq admitted that Big Country and Murison gave him trouble.
Yeah, I heard him say that.
He has to figure. So I actually looked it up. He was shooting under 40%.
Really?
Yeah, he shot under 40% on Big Country. Very odd. With Shaq, you know where he's shooting from. So he has to adjust to it. But the self-promotion stuff, the guy by and large backs up his talk. It's not like he's a bum. So that's all overreaction stuff based on one game.
All right, here's Bill. Mike, I listen every day, thinking myself as a logical thinker like yourself. As I watch the Sixers, who I believe will make it to the NBA Finals, I can't help but wonder about Brett's decision-making, specifically the hockey line changes. Now, I don't watch enough other teams to know if this is consistent across the NBA, but it doesn't seem logical to me. It's the same rotation every night, and the hockey line changes every game. I'm trying to figure out why and wanted to know what you had to say about it. Is it making sure the starters get enough rest? Is it keeping the stars in a routine so they know when their rest is coming every game? Is the method to his madness? I don't have any idea. If I'm a coach, I don't substitute three at a time. I substitute one. I put my first sub in. That's what I do. One. I blend the one in. Maybe I put a second in. I don't go into a routine where I'm switching three guys in because to me that ruins the continuity of your team. I got to have scorers on the floor. There are plenty of times when he has a lineup out there that has one scorer on the floor. It's usually Jimmy Butler. The rest aren't scorers. I don't know how you expect to score that way. Let's go to Dave in Holmesburg. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hi, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Dave?
I'm glad that's okay. Listen, I'd like to make a few points, and then I got, like, your comments.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty outraged, so I listened to you because you said a lot about what I'm going to say. Number one point, like, who's got to advise his team, like, when they take that shot, like, under 8 seconds ago, they're down three. If they get the rebound, they got to kick it right back out, number one. Number two, with the talent and the weight that Embiid's got on Horford, he should foul him out every game. Number three, when he had them, Redick and McConnell at the same time, credit to the Boston coach, went right at him down low.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, why can't we do that with Ben Simmons on their guards?
Well, you probably should be able to.
Well, okay.
I don't know. I would be posting up Simmons a lot more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no question. There's a lot of things they could have done that they did not do last night. Yeah. And that's a matter of coaching strategy. Now, the play you're talking about is the play where 11 seconds left, you have two options.
Yes.
You can score the quick two, get a quick foul, or you can get a three. Instead, Embiid wasted the time with the ball in his hands trying to figure out what to do. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know what goes on in the huddle. I really don't. This is what
I'm
we
asking
do.
You, Mike. This
is what we want to do. We want to get a loaded Joe quick to the basket for two,
right.
Or we want to get the ball to Joe and we flank and we get the best open three we can. But they were in between.
Right. I agree 100%.
All right, brother. I thought, yeah, do we have Joel Embiid talking about that particular sequence there?
Yep.
Let's just set it up here because Embiid scores what is it, 111?
No, it's just like when like only a couple seconds left when he actually made it, like 2 seconds left when he finally makes the layup.
I'm trying to figure out where he makes the layup here. Yeah, he makes it 2.4 seconds. So they're down 110 to 109. With 3 seconds, Tobias Harris missed the jumper, 26-footer, with 6.6 seconds left. And B got the offensive rebound, made the layup. Is that not the inbound pass, though, is it?
No, what they said...
What was the inbounds pass?
No, the inbounds pass was like with 11 or so seconds left.
Okay.
They claim Embiid bobbled it and messed up the timing because the play was the JJ. And Tobias was the secondary option. Tobias missed. And then Embiid, rather than kick it out to JJ, put in the layup.
Yeah,
and down one without any timeouts. But Embiid does answer why he, what happened.
Yeah, 13.1 seconds was on the clock when he executed.
When it started to play. Okay.
Yeah. Tobias Harris misses a 26-foot three-point shooter, jumper. Joel got the offensive rebound and then held and then went layup. All right. And we have Joel talking about this. All right, let's hear it.
I'm an idiot. Should have kicked it out or take it out or shoot it. I didn't think about the situation and us not having the timeout. I thought we had one, and then as soon as I shot it out, I looked and I was like, I'm stupid. Like I said, that's on me. I need to do a better job.
Well, and there's another sequence of the game that you can't worry about getting fouling out of the game. He's got 5 fouls. Marcus Smart takes the ball down Broad Street. Unmolested. Joel's the last guy to beat him there, and he allows him to dunk on him. Crucial basket. Now, he's got 5 fouls. I understand he's going to foul out if he fouls him. There's 2 chances there. One, he doesn't have to foul him. He can block the shot. All right? 2 is he fouls out. All right? He fouls out. Well, then you're going to have to figure out a different way to win the game. But you can't let Marcus Smart just dunk that there, can you?
I'm pretty sure they kind of tell Embiid, don't foul out. You have to stay in the game at all costs. Now, I'm not saying I agree, but the way they coach him now is basically don't foul out because we need you.
Yeah, I get you need him. It's the waning seconds. You can't afford Marcus Smart to dunk on you there. You can't. It's a big basket.
Well, you got to
foul out. So, you know, you put yourself in that spot, now you got to take one. And you got to figure out what you do from that point on, but you can't just let him score there. And he's a horrendous free throw shooter.
No, he is. He's bad.
All right, 610-632-0975. We roll into the 3 o'clock hour here on the Mike Missanelli Show. Do not forget, today at 4:30, the Valentine's Day Love Sex Music Medley. Our assistant program director is pretty ticked off, and he decided he was going to make this very difficult today so that nobody gets it. We shall see. We're back after this at 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.